It's 12:30. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert, in for Craig Cohen. In the Illinois Public Media News at this hour, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn says Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. should address the public about his condition now that the election is over. Jackson was released today from Minnesota's Mayo Clinic after being hospitalized there for the second time. He's been on medical leave since June for bipolar disorder and other medical issues. Jackson hasn't given any indication of when he'll return to office. The Chicago Democrat easily won re-election last week. He remains under a House Ethics Committee investigation over links to imprisoned former Governor Rod Blagojevich. During an unrelated news conference in Chicago today, Quinn said Jackson should address his constituents and the public. The governor declined to say if Jackson should leave office, saying that decision was up to the congressman. Meanwhile, news reports continue to suggest that Jackson is working on a plea deal with federal prosecutors over alleged misuse of campaign funds. As Heather Claiborne reports, his Republican opponent isn't bitter that the news came out after the election.
Some are questioning the timing of the release of the information just days after Congressman Jackson won re-election. But his Republican opponent in the race, Brian Woodworth, says he doesn't think the government intentionally held back the information so Jackson would win.
You know, the feds don't publicize this sort of thing. Chances are those plea negotiations have been taking place for a month or two before then. You know, I know people say, well, that should have come out before the election. Quite frankly, I don't think it would have made a difference.
Woodworth carried Will and Kankakee counties by a large margin, but Jackson won by dominating the Chicago vote. Woodworth says Chicago voters are desensitized to reports of corrupt politicians, and it would have taken more than reports of plea deal negotiations to change the outcome. If Jackson does step down, Illinois would hold a special election to fill the open seat. Woodworth says at this time he's not planning to run, but that he would keep the door open if the state and National Republican Party would get behind him this time. I'm Heather Claiborne.
The Champaign County Board is taking a hard look at what it needs from its county jail facilities, and part of that is a study of how many people need to be in jail. The Community Justice Task Force will present its initial report on the subject at tonight's County Board Committee of the Whole meeting, and Task Force Chairman Michael Richards says their focus is on using the county jail as a last option.
So we want to look at ways to make the criminal justice system work smarter and to relieve some of the stress on our system and some of the stress that the judicial system and the state's attorney and the public defender's office are having to work with every day.
Richard says preliminary recommendations from the task force include improving mental health and substance abuse treatment programs and establishing a pretrial services program to determine whether defendants need to be jailed while awaiting trial. The Community Justice Task Force was set up to advise the Champaign County Board while it considers the future of its jail facilities. A consulting firm is studying whether Champaign County should renovate or close its downtown Urbana jail and whether to expand its satellite jail. Richards says the task force will ask the county board to let them continue their research and work with the consultants as closely as possible. Exactly a week ago, Republican Rodney Davis won Illinois' 13th congressional race, and now the Taylorville Republican is in Washington this week for orientation with other incoming lawmakers. While Republicans will continue to hold the majority in the House of Representatives, Democrats will maintain control of the Senate. Because of this balance of power, Davis says there are some campaign pledges he likely can't fulfill, like repealing the Affordable Care Act, but he says there's still room for common ground on other issues.
I think a good compromise between Republicans and Democrats will be to keep our current tax rates and begin to address growing our economy and working towards paying down our national debt and controlling spending.
When asked about possible committees he might serve on in Congress, Davis says he hopes to get placed in the Agriculture, Transportation, and Education and Workforce Committees. Davis plans on maintaining his residence in Taylorville and not moving his family to Washington. Investigators seeking the cause of a deadly Indianapolis house explosion say they aren't ruling out any causes yet, but one expert says residents shouldn't be alarmed by the homeowner's suggestion that a faulty furnace could be to blame. John Shirley says his daughter told him recently that the furnace had gone out in the house. He co-owns with his ex-wife. The house was leveled in the blast. But Scott Davis of explosion investigation firm Jexcon U.S. says most furnaces have safety switches that must be triggered before any gas is used. He says most of those safety switches, or rather safety features, would have to fail for a furnace to cause the type of devastation seen in Indianapolis. Two people were killed in Saturday's blast. City officials say 29 homes are uninhabitable. The Homer Village Board could be 2 weeks from signing off on its first contract to sell water to Sunrise Coal Company for its proposed mine in Vermilion County. The board last night set that special meeting for November 26 in front of about 50 people, most of them mining opponents. The first contract concerns 2,000 to 4,000 gallons of treated water for drinking and sewage. The village also has to agree on a separate contract for more than 350,000 gallons of raw water a day, which includes finding sources for it. Homer Mayor David Lucas says the contract shows the village has the legal right to sell water to the mine. But opponents like Suzanne Smith says she was surprised to learn last night that water revenue can only go into infrastructure and not other village projects.
Mayor Lucas and the water supervisor had talked to me this summer about using some of the revenue for the downtown area to beautify it. I do some gardening at the gazebo in the downtown area, and it's my understanding that they were thinking there would be a lot more money to bring into the town. So that is news, and that may make a difference.
Lucas says the revenue from Sunrise would help Homer own and maintain its own water system. Smith and more than 300 others with the group Stand Up to Coal have signed a petition from the group citing concerns about not only harming the groundwater, but fears about the coal dust in the atmosphere and mining's impact on farming tiles and fields. A 24-year-old Chatsworth man who died in an all-terrain vehicle accident was pinned under the overturned ATV. McLean County Coroner Beth Kimmerling says Lucas Stork appears to have died because he couldn't breathe when he became trapped under the vehicle. Stork and three others were riding the ATV when it crashed late Saturday in rural Arrowsmith, about 20 miles east of Bloomington. Kimmerling says speed didn't play a factor in the crash. She says an autopsy yesterday shows Stork didn't suffer any fatal traumatic injuries in the crash. A new report on Indiana's local income taxes urges state legislators to simplify a system that has seven types of taxes and a two-year lag before the money collected is distributed to local governments. The Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute report finds that local income taxes have successfully lowered property taxes throughout the state since they were started in the 1970s. The Times of Munster reports Indiana University researcher Matt Nagel says the system has become complex. All but one of Indiana's 92 counties have a local income tax ranging from 0.1% to 3.13%. In sports, Tyler Griffey had scored 17 points and Tracy Abrams had 15 to lead Illinois to an 89-64 win over St. Francis of New York last night. Illinois couldn't shake the Terriers early but closed the first half with a 45-25 lead. Illinois football coach Tim Beckman says he may make changes to improve his team's short yardage blocking. The Illini came up short on two key third-and-one plays in their 17-3 loss to Minnesota Saturday. Coach Beckman complained about his team's inability to get a yard. He says he might make changes on the line or in the backfield. The Illini will try to break a seven-game losing streak Saturday at Purdue. Chicago Cubs have signed former Minnesota Twins pitcher Scott Baker to a one-year contract that guarantees $5.5 million next season. The veteran right-hander could earn an additional $1.5 million in performance bonuses. The Cubs announced the move today. He was 63-48 with a 4.15 ERA with Minnesota from 2005 through 2011. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media News.